friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Just had Merrill Hodge, former Steelers running back, but that's all right. He was great with us, and we appreciate it. Give us some perspective on the running back position and whether Quinshon Judkins should be or would be able to play. What was your take on that?
He said yes, he's good to go.
Yeah,
like, it's simple enough. They'll keep it as easy as possible on him, and he'll be a factor into this game. It's kind of what I wanted to hear from a former running back. Okay, how much studying? How much? This is going to come off so poorly. How much knowledge and, you know, that you need to be effective inside of this game? And Merrill kind of said, hey, they'll keep it simple for him. He'll be good to go. He'll be, you know, he might not get all the carries, but he'll be a factor in this. It made me feel better. Did it make you feel better?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really concerned whether Quinshon Judkins is up to the task or not. I need him to go out there, take a hit. I mean, let's be honest. You want to, if you've ever talked to any of these guys, they want to get hit for the first time. And I'm not saying they want to get blown up. They just need to feel the crunch of the game so that they can get into the flow. And so it's like, okay, I remember what it feels like to be out here during a game. I mean, he hasn't played, and he played, you know, one of the toughest runs in the history of college football at Ohio State last year. So I'm not worried about his, NFL inexperience, if that makes sense. And I'm also, you know, as long as he knows what blocker to run behind and he executes what they need him to do. The question is, would you hand him the ball first or would you have him throw a block first?
Hand him the ball.
I'd probably have him throw a block first.
Why?
Just to get a feel into the game. Let him,
make sense.
You know, fake a run or let him come around the outside or let him, you know, block or just give him one play to get into the game.
Because I've always thought, like, if you bring in a new wide receiver, or you got somebody coming back from an injury, the best thing that you could do for that player is to get him the ball early and get him involved early. So then that way he can touch the ball and go, all right, that's done. Now I could toss that to the side.
Not everyone starts their career, though, like Bo Jackson did last week against Grambling. Here's the ball. Touchdown! They should all be that easy, shouldn't they?
Sound like such a jerk saying this because, I mean, it's the HBCUs are awesome.
Stop it. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is they handed the ball to the player who had never run one play in college football. Right there into the end zone, 12 yards. Made a lot of people smile.
I'm not taking anything away from him when I say it. It's a moment he'll have the rest of his life, and he should enjoy every last bit of it. You just take everything that happens in a game like that with a grain of salt.
All right, well, whatever you want to say, I don't care. Yeah. I still enjoyed the moment. And we're going to talk more about Ohio State with our good friend Tim May coming up a little bit later this hour. All right, so let's. What else did we get then? And we talked to, like I said, we talked to Merrill Hodge. Then we talked to Tom McCarthy, NFL on CBS. Again, I'm telling you, Browns fans, when you're watching the game and your stomach is turning because they're celebrating 30 years of Browns misery by throwing that god-awful, nasty purple and black up on the screen, remember,
stay with us.
It is not Tom's fault. It's not Tom's fault, okay? Because I know you're going to get mad and you're going to be able to say, oh, it's all Tom McCarthy wanted to talk about. No, it wasn't.
It's not Tom's fault. I cannot state that enough. Tom McCarthy is a really good dude. He called one of the games for the Browns Radio Network when Jimmy was fighting.
Yeah.
He was wonderful to work with then. He did an outstanding job with us. He's a great dude. It's not Tom's fault. Trust me.
Do you feel better saying that
in your face?
Do you feel better letting people know?
Oh, for the sake of Tom, yes.
All right. So, what else did we get from Tom? What'd you think about his thoughts on the game?
So, I have often bashed kickers.
Yeah,
and we'll continue to bash kickers because I find it all to be mildly ridiculous that you have 22 guys run up and down a field for a good period of time, only to have somebody come off the sideline and have to put a ball through a goal for 3 points. It would be the equivalent in a baseball game of having to play 9 innings and then deciding the end of it by bringing in Matt Stairs from the bench and hand him a stick and go, all right, how many home runs are you going to hit is going to determine how wins the game. And I will continue to bash kickers until the end of time for that. He says, don't worry about kickers missing kicks in week one, that it's just week one jitters. Nothing to worry about. Everybody should stick with what they have. I watched Matt Gay yesterday, the kicker for the Washington Commanders, miss two field goals in that game. Now, wouldn't have changed anything, but still. Do you think there is a kicker epidemic going around? That maybe we're putting too much onto these kickers, we're kicking from too far of a distance, and there's too much pressure on them, and there's an actual kicking problem taking place? Or are you with Tom and saying, eh, it's just week one?
Here's what I'm going to say. Since 2015, right? Isn't that when they moved the yard line? It's been that long, hasn't it? Or has it been 10 years? Is that right? The NFL changed extra point distance in 2015, right?
I will trust what you're reading.
Moving kicks from the 2-yard line to the 15-yard line to make it less automatic. Nothing feels like it's a gimme anymore. And I know extra points should, right? They should feel like a gimme.
Well, they always were.
They always were. That was when they're snapping from the 2-yard line.
Well, goodness, let's be real honest with all of ourselves. That was when you would score the touchdown, and that was when everybody would get up and go to the bathroom because you knew
right.
that you would have the extra point, which was a gimme, and then the kickoff, which was a touchback.
Although Browns fans never take anything for granted. I will tell you that.
Right? Okay. Sure. Nobody went to the bathroom thinking, all right, I could get here before the defense hits the field. Sure.
Do we make the kick too important then? That's my problem. I heard more people say in the last week, I am done. Done with the kicking game. Like, why do we have it anymore? And I'm like, well, the name of the game is football.
Join the dark side. Come to the dark side.
Yeah, you're the one. I think you're the one that's
Vader,
been...
Vader baked cookies. Come to the dark side. I've said it forever. I've thought that kicking was silly. I've always thought it was ridiculous that, yes, it is football and the foot never touches, well, rarely touches the ball to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And we should probably change the name of the sport because the foot rarely touches the ball anymore. So I'm going to go with it's week one jitters because I don't think there are this many bad kickers in football. I think that the majority of these guys are far better than what we've seen. It's also, aren't they doing something different with the kicking ball this year too?
Well, the ball itself, you mean?
Yeah, like you're allowed
to. I mean, there's a chip in there. I mean,
well, there's a chip in there
for a while, but
I think you're allowed to do something different with the ball this year. I should look this up before shoving my foot in my mouth, but I believe that they changed the rules of the kicking ball as well. So I don't know if that maybe has something to do with it. I don't think so. I think it's just week one jitters. And I think we just, I get what the Browns are doing with Andre Schmidt and saying, all right, it's just 1 week. Let's see this. If it happens after week two, okay, now we'll talk kicking competitions. But it's just 1 week. And maybe it's the jitters, first NFL start. You know, we heard Bubba Ventrone, he looked good in practice. You know, it's kind of what you got to base this on. You only have 1 week of actual data and 1 week of performance to, you know, I know that some of us in our jobs would say, well, if we failed like that, we'd all get fired no matter how many weeks it was. It's true.
True.
You're not incorrect.
If you're Schmidt, that you've got to make your kicks this week. You cannot afford to miss any.
100%. Yes. That guy, I'll tell you, on the list of people with pressure on their shoulders.
Yeah.
That guy's got to be feeling it.
He is carrying some heavy weight. Jim is in Aurora. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Jim.
Hey, guys. I agree. I could see both sides of Cleveland's side. Like, on one side, it's just a kick. That's your only job. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, he is a rookie. What if it was just, like you said, first week jitters. That's all it was. And then the next week, he comes out looking like prime Phil Dawson.
I hope you're right. And by the way, the one who believes you, Kevin Stefanski in the front office, because they're letting him come back out again this week. I think part of it is, though, that we sit here and we scrutinize these kickers and we forget, let them go. Who cares? Doesn't matter. It doesn't. What are we really paying these guys? Just the kicker. It's just the kicker.
The same way the league looks at them, like they're used cars.
Well, they are. No.
You drive them until it clunks, you'll get a new one.
Used cars have more value now. Let's be honest.
Good point.
But no, that I just wanted to say that. I mean, what? Hopefully that he does well. You know, we're not looking at him to win. I mean, I hope we're not looking at him to win the game. But just a couple extra points here and there, maybe a chip shot field goal, I think that would do him a lot of confidence and Cleveland a lot of confidence.
I agree. Because there would be a lot of confidence. You just don't want a game falling into the hand. Like, you don't want to lose by 1 point because they miss a stupid extra point. Come on, man. It just sucks.
And to wrap it up, I think we also got spoiled because we we lived, I mean, I remember, and I know you guys do too, where our field goal kicker scored all of our points during games. That's all we had at some point, and we got spoiled, I think, by that.
You're just talking about Phil Dawson in particular, or are you talking about the great field goal kickers we've had along the way, all the way along the way?
I think all along the way, but I remember Dawson the most.
Yeah, you know how many years it's been since he's been here?
Yeah, I know.
His last year was 2012.
Oh,
geez. All right, okay, sorry. Yeah, didn't mean to bum you out on that. All right, hey, no, thanks for the phone call, Jim. We appreciate it. Jim and Aurora.
Undefeated, sadly.
It is. Oh, man. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. Chris Ostenheimer, our friend, lifelong friend on this show. He's going to talk a little Guardians with us coming up.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Nice win for the Guardians last night, especially on national television as they were on Big Fox yesterday, and they're still sticking around. And you know who sticks around with us? Who's had our back for the better part of 14 years on the air with Baskin and Phelps? You know him. You love him. He is Chris Ostenheimer, and he is the best, and he works for the Chronicle-Telegram. Hi, Chris. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
Guys, nice. Nice.
You like it?
Yeah, that was very nice.
All right, that's how we roll on the show.
I'm sure everybody loves me, but that's all right.
No, it's all right.
As you guys, dude, I'm good.
We love you. I think people
love you. That's what matters.
When we talk baseball with you, I think they're just like, hey, three guys hanging out talking baseball. Love it.
Cool.
All right. Hang on. Before we get into anything, lifelong Clevelander, right, my friend?
Of course.
All right. I'm assuming you're a Browns fan. I've never really asked you that because we've always talked baseball. You got to hear this promo that Keith put together. Hang on. We got to play this promo for you. Go.
You got to
hear this.
This is unreal.
All right, go.
Baltimore celebrating their 30th season ahead of this week's matchup against the Browns. The Ravens. This is the radio home of the Cleveland Browns. 92.3 The Fan.
I got to tell you, Keith, boss of the year on that one, right?
I heard that before you guys called. I heard it leading in. That's awesome. It is great.
I think that was awesome. Hey, Keith, hang on.
Well done.
There and we're go. Not there saying this to suck up in any way. That was awesome.
There we go.
Much better. All right. I just wanted to make sure you it's get just, feel some those, Cleveland pride on that, Chris.
It's one of those. I'm like, get ready for the segment. I'm like, wait, what the what?
I had season tickets for when I was, and then I went to college, and I had to give them up because I got tired of coming back and forth from Columbus. But, yeah, I had old dog pound, like the real dog pound. Municipal Stadium dog pound.
Like, were you a lifter? Did you help them bring the kegs in over the top?
No, nothing crazy like that.
You were like middle of the
I partook in all of the activities. Let's put it that way.
I'm shocked.
As you should.
That's true. I didn't.
Right.
I thought we were talking to wholesome Chris Ostenheimer today. I didn't realize that.
I'm not sure that dude ever existed, to tell you the truth.
All right. I'm going to stop this conversation before it gets ugly. Right. 75-71, my friend.
Before we get to some of your stuff.
Yeah, I don't want, right. Man. Wait, no. It was another life.
It's really easy to get fired on a Friday.
That was another life, yeah. It's a good thing we have a dump button here. 75-71, your Guardians. And I keep saying this, Chris. Man, they're like, you're a kid, and you've got a tooth that wants to move because it's got a permanent tooth coming in, and it is literally hanging by a thread. And that thread is not about to break as they still continue to be competitive here in September and still have a shot.
That's a good description. You're right. Every time I think, you know, when they lost 10 in a row, it's like, all right, these guys are finished, you know. They come flying back. Then they lose another. Then they go into another funk. Okay, season's finally over. I mean, I think I've probably said that 3 or 4 times. While I think it still is a bit of a long shot, Seattle and Texas are doing them no favors. They keep winning. And I think that 3.5 is a little too much with the time that they have. Certainly not impossible. But yeah, I'm not going to say, oh, they're finished. I mean, I've said that too many times and I've been wrong. So yes, they are still hanging on.
Any part of you think that Seattle just takes the reins, wins the West right now, Houston drops off the face of the earth, and really the battle becomes between the Guardians and the Rangers, and then they meet the last week of the season, man, the last series of the, I mean, like, you can't, if you're Major League Baseball, you can't ask for better drama than that.
Yeah, that would be great. And it certainly could happen. The Astros, I just don't see the Astros just totally dropping off the face. I mean, they have too many guys, and I just don't see that happening. They're not, I mean, they're certainly not the Astros of old, but I don't see them going away, even if Seattle does overtake them. And Texas is the thing, man. And they all of a sudden, they're just like, oh, no, we're a really good team now. And I guess I get it. I mean, they certainly are. The problem with everything, and I don't want to be negative towards the Guardians, it's just facts. Like, everybody they're chasing is better than them. And that's a tough equation. But it doesn't mean it can't happen. I mean, look what happened last year.
See, Chris, the only one I'd push back on a smidge is the Astros, because I look at that team and watch them night in and night, you know, every so often. They look like the team where at the end of the year, somebody is going to have the 5,000-word piece of, oh, now they tell us what went wrong inside of the locker room. That's what I feel like watching that Astros team. Every time I'm like, oh, I'm ready for the now they tell us piece that's going to come at the end of the season with them, because something is just off. I mean, they just, they look like they are in such a funk right now that it's actually giving me hope as a Guardians fan.
Well, I mean, again, that's fine. And I really haven't kept my eye on the Astros a whole lot because they haven't been in this equation, and I realize they are now. But I just, I don't know. I don't see them just, and I know you, it appears you may see them doing this. I just don't see them just totally going away and, you know, season over, we're in first place with 2 weeks to go. All of a sudden we're not even in the postseason. I don't know. That would be hard for me to grasp. And of course, you know, you would be able to say, well, we got the White Sox coming in, and the only time during the season they've played well is just before they're coming to Cleveland. So that's not great either. You'd like to have them still losing on the reg, and they're not. They're actually seeing some wins and some confidence. But that, you know, again, doesn't mean the Guardians don't go out and sweep them, and here we are like a game and a half out. So it's been unpredictable, but if you're asking me whether I think it's going to happen, I just don't. I mean, I think it's especially if it goes more than 3.5 games, then I think they're finished.
All right, Chris, let's swing to the Guardian side of things here. Kyle Manzardo has been hitting the cover off the ball, and especially in the second half of the season. Is he somebody that you see as the first baseman of the future, or do you see them maybe looking at CJ Kafis as the first baseman of the future? But clearly Manzardo needs to be in the lineup every single night.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, he's proven that, you know, and he wasn't getting, and it's credit to him, because he wasn't getting that regular playing time to get in the groove, and he forced himself into that. And tip of the cap for that, because he wasn't a regular player at the beginning of the season, and really maybe even halfway through the season he still wasn't. You had David Fry and things like that. The problem with first base is, we know, he's not a good defensive first baseman. I mean, it's early in his career, and that doesn't mean he can't become a good first baseman. But right now he looks like a DH, and it hasn't affected him, you know, as far as at the plate, you know, not playing in the field like it does with some guys. So maybe that's his spot moving forward. And yeah, and you give Kafis the shot at first base.
Help me. You got six guys in the rotation. And while I think it's really helping them now, because it's taking and they're letting them go a little bit longer, right? I mean, I feel like as you watch and it just feels like they feel more comfortable letting these guys go longer. Like, I'm wondering what that six-man rotation is going to look like going into next year. Not that I want to look ahead, but I can make an argument for pretty much anybody of these five guys to be the rotation next year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't see them. I mean, I think they're going to go back to the normal five-man rotation
right
next year. And I guess if there would one, if there's one guy who would you would kind of take out of that, it would probably be Logan Allen.
Right.
But, you know, like you said, I mean, you can make a case for Logan Allen just as well. But I think that would be the one guy. And the guy that's a bit concerning, I mean, they just signed him to an extension. Right. And he comes out and he's, you could argue he's been no better than a fifth starter this year.
Tanner Bibee.
Giving up home runs.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Tanner Bibee, obviously. But you're not, there's no way he's coming out of that rotation next year. So they're just going to try to work that out. And I guess I would think it would be Logan Allen. I don't know. It depends, you know, Parker Messick is still very early in his career. So
but he's fun, man. He's fun, isn't he?
For sure, for sure. And he's a lefty too. So, you know, you don't have to worry about having Allen in there as well with no lefties. So, yeah, I think that it's certainly a good problem to have, though. Six starters, and the Cantillo thing is great. His progress. I mean, he could have just gone to the minors and just wasted away and pouted, and he came back and
we've seen that story before, right? Yeah, I'm just wondering if they could parlay maybe one of these guys and some talent in the minors to try to bring in a bat. I'm just come on, please get me a bat.
Yeah, they definitely need that. That's the biggest shame about this whole thing. When you look back, if they do end up missing out of the postseason by two games or something like that, and you think, man, if you could have just had a bat, and I think they would have tried to go get one, but Class A really, really ruined those plans. And I'm not putting it all on him. Like, I mean, I'm certainly putting a lot on him, but I don't even know if they would have gone and got a bat. Who knows? Maybe they would have got another middle infielder. But just they would have had a chance, and they really – that took any chance away from them doing anything. So it became like a celebration because they didn't trade Kwan. But they certainly need offense next year.
Is Brian Rocchio the shortstop of the future? Because he's kind of hitting well in the second half of the season, and I'm holding a lot of stock here, Chris. I can't sell it.
Yeah. I'm right there with you because at the beginning of the season, I predicted he was going to have all-star numbers in the first half, and that certainly did not bode well for me or him. But this is the same thing we saw last year, really. He had a terrible start, and then he found it at the end of the season. I mean, let's hope this isn't a pattern, but I think that I don't see Gabe. If Gabe Arias comes back next year, I think he's playing second base, and I think Rocchio is the shortstop.
All right, what's your gut? Do you think when we get down to that Texas series, it's going to mean something or no? I hope it does. I have a fear that we're going to get to those three games and they're not going to matter. But I want that scenario to play out so bad.
Yeah, it would be great. It's certainly possible, you know. As they say all the time, anything can happen. It's just obviously it's a long shot, and but sure. I mean, it would be great. It would certainly be a nice ending to the season instead of just playing that out. You know, I mean, if there actually was something to play for, it'd be a great final three games of the season, right?
I'm here for it, man. I'm thrilled we've got competitive baseball in September, and the only real concern that I've started to gain is when Tim Herron is finding his way onto the mound for this team. I mean, that's about it. I mean, Kate Smith, I think, has locked it up in the back end of the bullpen quite well, and it's just like that's that one piece that I look at, and every so often Hunter Gaddis. Do you worry about the back end of the bullpen at all down the stretch run, Chris?
I mean, Tim Herron, I guess, but they have Sobrowski to come in and get the and for the matchups and things like that. Herron has been an odd case though. I mean, he was really, really good last year, and he's been I won't say really, really bad, but he's certainly not been good. And Gaddis has had some warts too, I agree. But I still think that, I mean, like you said, Kate Smith locked it down, and I think that you have enough, you know, who's been surprisingly effective, and I'm guessing his ERA isn't the greatest, but I mean, Matt Festa, I mean, that dude came out of nowhere, and he's certainly been very good for them. And I think, you know, the bullpen, I think it'll continue to be a strength because they do have arms back there. I mean, Tim Herron's the only one that's really scuffled. Gattis on occasion. But I think Gaddy's good.
Chris, as always, you are the man. And of course, we're reading you. Why? Because you, my friend, will always be a great read. Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Of course. Nice.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Talking to you guys.
Fan, we're going to get back to the Browns. Don't forget two keys in a lock. And in 1 hour, we will do quick predicts. You tell us the score of the Browns-Ravens game on Sunday and then give us Monday's headline. That's all coming up in the next hour. Plus, we'll hear from Kevin Stefanski in the next hour. And if Quinshon Judkins speaks in the next hour, we'll hear his press conference too. And a guy that's asked Quinshon quite a few questions. He is our man. He is the myth. He is the legend. And of course, he is Tim May, and he is on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Mr. Myth and Legend. How are you?
Sir?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, except found out y'all can't play Eastbound and Down, head on up and trekking
I know.
It's just a monetizing situation, and I'm kind of bummed out. If I sang it, would that also
is
be
is he allowed to hum at least? Can he?
I don't know.
Oh, can I tell the anecdote about meeting Jerry Reed's lead guitarist? Girlfriend when we went home with her from the Black Poodle at in Nashville that one night. And
are we going to get fired if you tell this story?
I thought this was the story you can't tell. I thought this was the Tim May After Dark story.
It's the screenplay. That is the essence of the screenplay. That is the climax of the screenplay, as a matter of fact. But the bottom line is, yeah, it's like, so I guess we just have to go on with life like we're all boring. That's okay with me.
Wow. I'm blown. I've never heard Tim May After Dark. Maybe I might.
By the way, guys do a hell of a job on that pregame show, and then during the games with the Browns and stuff. And so I just want to let y'all know that.
Well, Tim, as a longtime listener of you on the radio as well, when I've heard you, I think you do an excellent job too. Just so you know that.
You read that exactly the way I wrote it.
All right, Tim. I want to talk a little bit about last week because I got to be honest. I mean, I might be the only person that saw some value to a 70-0 win, but when you're starting quarterback and go out there and go 15-for-15, you can get six tight ends out on the field. Five of them caught passes. And when I'm watching the end of the game and I see three guys that were playing high school football in Division III, Region 9 last year, I don't know. I get excited. Maybe because I like watching the local kids play. Was there any value to the win last week?
Absolutely. There's value. You're coming off a 14-7 win over the number one team in the country. You're now number one. Are you going to play like it? And Ohio State definitely played like it was the number one team in the country against an FCS foe. And obviously, Julian Sayin played only the first half, threw for almost 300 yards, completed his first 16 in a row. You know, that's hard to do just in practice. I mean, matter of fact, it's probably rare in practice to complete your first 16 throws on a day. And it just shows you where they can go with this quarterback. He is so damn accurate. It's crazy. It's kind of like, you know, walking into a bar where the guy brings his own darts. You know he's serious. This guy brings his own darts and throws them from the ear.
That is so true.
Yeah, guys were open, but he hit them. That's the main thing. And the thing about it is he's really only been wild and not even that. He had a throwaway, I think, against Texas, and then he had a kill the clock pass maybe last week. I'm not sure, but you know, even on his the interception he threw, he was right on the money. He just the Texas guy jumped it. You know, so life can really come at you hard sometimes. But yeah, and then the defense put a stranglehold on him. And obviously, to get a shutout these days against anybody, you got to have a little luck. And when they miss a makeable 36, 37 yard field goal, then luck was on your side, and Grambling never got close after that. And so, to sum up what you said, I judge teams as much by how they play in a mismatch as how well they play in a great matchup. And Ohio State took care of business.
Did Bo Jackson make a statement for more playing time, more significant playing time?
Right where I was going to go, Tim. Yeah. He has been drooling on himself all week over Bo Jackson.
Well, Tim, you're with me on this. Like, I think Tim, I mean, I think Bo deserves a shot. I mean, and yeah, I mean, you hand him the ball for the first time, he goes in. I know, Grambling. I got it. But, and it'll be Ohio tomorrow. And I'm not trying to downplay tomorrow's game, but did he build confidence with the offensive staff and with Ryan Day last week?
We will only know when we watch how the game develops tomorrow, because they don't tell you we're going to put him in the three man rotation instead of the two man rotation they've got right now from the jump. I think he deserves consideration in that regard, for your consideration. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A movie.
I saw that movie. It was good. Yeah.
You're probably going to get dinged for me saying that out loud.
No.
Money wise,
Perum at someone's something.
Yeah,
I forgot the fake movie they were doing.
Yeah. Home Perum or something.
Home for Perum. That's what it was. Yes. No one knows what we're talking about unless they saw the movie.
Right. Okay. But it's still a hell of them. Still part of that genre of movies.
Yes.
That was great.
Yes.
But I digress. Bottom line is, this is what was on Bo Jackson's plate last week. When you're named Bo Jackson, don't go in there and fall down or fumble or get hit the line and go straight down. You follow my drift. He did.
Yeah.
He delivered the goods despite his name. And granted, it was against Grambling State, which had problems. But when you're the leading rusher for whatever reason coming out of a game, you've had a hell of a day. And we all saw him live up to his name and live up to his expectations. I would think that he deserves a little bit more of a consideration based on the fact he appeared to make very few mistakes. But, you know, what we've always talked about, guys, is to get to play at Ohio State at running back, you've also got to show you have no reluctance to step up and pick up blitzes and the like in the pass pro packages. And he did that to a certain extent on a limited basis last week also. So, yeah, I would think here's the thing. I would think, number one, it bodes well for him in terms of playing more earlier, but also they're playing a 16-game schedule in their mind, minimum, and they're going to need a third tailback somewhere down the road.
The legend Tim May joining us on the Fan Hotline. All right, so after the 70-0 drubbing over Grambling, we're just throwing our hands up in the air and saying, hey, the offense is in good shape. Nobody panic. Nobody worry. Texas's defense, just one of the best in the country, does the first game of the season. Is that what we're saying?
Well, yeah, Texas is trying to say the same thing after playing San Jose State. I mean, that was too great. We all remember when I was on here for opening week, the word that was going around, and I embraced it, was the word clunky. That game was always going to be clunky, Texas and Ohio State, because they got two damn good, talented defenses that were rebuilding to a certain extent. But you can do a lot of plug and play on defense you can't necessarily do on offense. And we knew Ohio State was going to be conservative, if that's the correct term, careful in terms of play calling for their first time starting quarterback. But, you know, I'm not sure anybody envisioned deer in the headlights look from Arch Manning like the Ohio State defense fostered under the direction of Matt Patricia. And so that contributed greatly. But yeah, I mean, those two teams have a great shot of playing again in January, maybe early, maybe December, but I think more like January, and we'll see where that goes. I'm talking about Texas and Ohio State. So, you know, this is college football. Anything can happen on any Saturday. Really can. A proposed blowout can be a nail biter. Just ask Clemson. You know, just ask Penn State. You know, with Florida International coming to town, and Penn State struggling in the first half last week before getting a big play, which kind of broke it open. But yeah, I mean, a lot of things can happen. With Ohio State so far, they got a big, huge win to start the year, and they got a win as advertised the next game. So you move on.
There's no way West Virginia thought they were going to go to OU last week and take out L when they booked that game. I mean, you can't tell me that. I can't believe that they would think that. But
no, they thought they were going to go to OU and leave 2-0.
Yes.
But instead, they went to OU and got beat on both sides of the ball. This is a good Ohio University team. They won the MAC last year. They changed head coaches to Brian Smith, you know, the guy that was there before Alpon, I think it was his name. But, you know, he went to Charlotte, moved on to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And they helped give Bill Belichick his first victory at North Carolina last week. But the bottom line is this is a very talented, good Ohio University team that in the last couple of years has had to reload in the transfer portal because, as we talked about on my Tim May show here on my podcast we just did with Bill Bender, you know, the Sporting News.
Yes.
You know, the thing about Ohio U, Ohio State kind of picks and chooses who it wants from the transfer portal. Ohio U has to replace its better players almost every year with guys that they've got to pick carefully, you know, because nobody's going – for the most part, unless it's a quarterback who just wants playing time or something, it's rare that you go down in the transfer portal. And if you do go down, why did you go down? You know what I mean? So Ohio U has to pick carefully. And I thought defensively they play a great game against West Virginia and Rich Rodriguez's offense there, you know, back at West Virginia where he first made his claim to fame. So this is a good Ohio University team coming in.
All right, just want to make sure, did Brutus take taekwondo or any other self-defense, you know, lessons before this game?
You know, where is it? Ohio U, when they, Channel 4, by the way, down here, did a great retrospective on that game.
Oh.
When Brutus ran down, when Rufus, the Ohio Bobcat, ran down Brutus at the start of what, the that game here, what, 14 years ago?
Yeah.
Rufus ended up being a dropout, and then they brought him back. And he was not even in school, but they made him Rufus anyway. They know what he had in mind. And they did a great follow-up on that, which was really good. But the thing is, they had to hunt all over the place to get a Rufus. At Ohio State, they have a waiting list to be Brutus.
Wow.
Yeah. So clearly that guy's no longer in school. It's a Brutus. It's an et tu, Brute, but of what ilk, we're not sure.
Nice. All right, Tim, I've got one more retro piece for you to look up. There's a story sitting in the archives of Channel 10 about Tim Biakabatuka's helmet and how that was mysteriously lost before an Ohio State-Michigan game. We'll talk about that at a later date, my friend.
Life happens. Was that the game where the guards with the dog stopped them and sniffed every piece of luggage?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. Jay Crawford and I will direct you to the piece that's sitting in Channel 10 at some point.
Hey, let's talk about that Biakabatuka. I've got a little follow-up.
I can't. I'm getting yelled at. We got to go to break. I love you, man. I love you.
Next time.
Let's do it next time.
That's a promise.
Tim, you're the greatest. Thank you, Tim.
See you, brother. Talk
soon. Bye-bye. He is Tim.
Hey, friends. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.